All right, let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. Man, what a wonderful song service this morning. Gracious, I was thinking about it. You know, you just messaging song, and my chains fell off. My heart was free. And I get to that part, and then we go, man, when I survey the wondrous cross, things are going great, and all of a sudden it says, demands my soul, my life, my all. And I thought, man, that's so convicting. And then, man, we give glory to His name, and then Josiah had me going over there. I was enjoying it. Can we play that again a couple more times today? That was, man, such a wonderful, I don't know, you know, this is a great place to be. I will say that. I'm just so thankful for this place and, man, for those that have gone before and just love the music around here. So thankful for that. Looking forward to the preaching. Joshua chapter 21, we'll read verses 43 to 45. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken of the house of Israel. All came to pass. Let's pray. God, we thank You, Lord. Lord, we're humble, Lord, that You've already shown up this morning, Lord, and we're humbled by that, Lord. We desire here at Gilgal Baptist Church to please You. And, Lord God, we desire as close as we can to the Word of God to please You, Lord. And we understand, Lord, we come with unclean lips, and we come, Lord, with impure hearts and everything, Lord. We're flesh. We understand that, Lord. But praise the Lord, we can come worship a perfect God. And Almighty God, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, for somebody here, Lord, that is not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, what a wonderful thing to get in on is God's plan, Lord God, for our lives. And Lord, we just so thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. And Lord, we are excited, Lord, to come to Your house today. And Lord, there may be trials and struggles and different things going on in all of our lives and different, whatever it may be that we have going on. But Lord, we can come here to a haven of rest, Lord, and get a place, Lord, where we can get alone with God and worship God. And Lord, we just so thank You for this place. Lord, we pray that You be with the message this morning, Lord. We're looking forward to it, Lord. I'm excited about it, Lord. I want to change, Lord. I want to do things, Lord, that are pleasing to You. Give us a great time this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And man, appreciate it. He mentioned all the music this morning, and just thank you for all those that put time and work into that. And of course, the choir always does a great job. And I don't want to, I was thinking as they were singing this morning, I won't take that for granted. I just expect that, and they always do a great job. Thank you for that choir. And then the young people with the special, and then Josiah with the offertory. Man, that's a lot of work and time, and what a blessing it is to hear this. So thank you for that this morning. Joshua chapter 21, and we started there in those verses, and we've been going through the book of Joshua this year. Last week took a break from that as we had Easter Sunday, but the few weeks before that, we're talking about the, really throughout the theme, the book of Joshua, the theme of the victorious Christian life. And this morning, I hope you're saved already. In song, you've heard some things to help you if you're not saved, and that's to help you to realize you're a sinner. And without sin, there's no way we can get to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ that was given for us. And so I hope you know you're saved this morning. If you're saved, it should be that we're living a victorious Christian life. And that's what the book of Joshua is about. And we've gone through a lot of different things with that. The last couple weeks that we went over, we talked about Caleb. And man, the dedicated Christian life that he had, man. And Caleb just gave himself fully to do what God said. And then we talked about a couple weeks ago, the tribes of Israel, as they saw sin, man, the zealous Christian life and that zeal to make sure that they were serving God and that there wasn't any kind of sin that came in. And this morning, we've gone through those things. Man, those things are very important. But I want to take a minute. In fact, I want you to look at the verses we read. Look at in Joshua chapter 21 and see this as we get close to the end here of the book of Joshua. Look at verse number 43. It says, "The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers." So first we see this. God gave Israel all the land that He said He was going to. In other words, He kept His promise. He kept His word. verse 44. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Again, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. So they had rest from all their enemies. They had the rest from the battles that they had faced. It doesn't mean they had nothing else to do, but God had given them a period of rest here. Again, according to what he had said. So God had kept his word. He kept his promise. And of course, verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, which the Lord had spoken. That means this, when God said it, all of those things came to pass. In fact, that's what it ends up right in verse 45, what it says, all came to pass. Let me just tell you this morning, this is not the message, but when God says it, it's going to come to pass. All of it did. Everything that God had said was going to happen. Every promise he made to the people of Israel, when they back when they left Egypt and now coming into the promised land, those promises, God kept his word, and he always does. But here's what happens. If we're not careful, even though the promises of God are there, even though we see God working, we can still live a life that doesn't fulfill, not be the victorious Christian life that God wants us to live. And this morning I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the carnal Christian life. You know, there are opportunities for us to serve God. There's opportunities to accomplish things for God. But that doesn't mean that every Christian takes advantage of those opportunities. And there's a carnality that can creep in if we're not careful. And I want to go, we're going to sort of go in reverse order here. But I want to look at three different things that some of the tribes of Israel, and we talked about several weeks ago, it's been a couple months ago now, we talk about the compromise of Joshua. Remember when Joshua compromised and the leaders of Israel compromised and they allowed that agreement with the people of Gibeon there. And that was something that compromise really cost them, and it cost them moving forward. But this morning, the carnality in the Christian life, I'm not just talking about a compromise as a group or a compromise as a church. And those things are important to cover. That's why we went over those things, because we see that in our world today. But I'm talking this morning to you and your personal Christian life. Have we allowed carnality to creep in? Have we allowed the things of the world to become more important than what God wants us to do? I want to give you three quick examples. And again, we'll sort of move, we'll go from more from back to front. So I want you to back up to Genesis chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18. We won't pull that far back, all right? Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18. And I want to see the first example we have here and what happens to us. What can cause carnality, can cause backsliding to come into our lives. Look at Joshua chapter 18 and verse number 1. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, verse 3, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Here's one of the first things we see in the carnality of the people of Israel. The first thing is this: comfort. You know, the people of Israel here, they became comfortable with their life. I mean, spiritually speaking, they were comfortable. You know, it's fine for us to, and we live, man, we're so thankful for the country we live in. We live in a world, and especially for us, in a nation where, man, we have so many things we get to enjoy, and we have I know everybody, there's different struggles that people have, but boy, the comforts we get to enjoy, and I'm not going to throw all those away and find somewhere where there's none of those comforts. No, God has blessed us with those, and we're thankful for that, man. Well, this morning, we actually had to turn on the air conditioning here a little bit, all right? It's a little warmer today. So those comforts we get to enjoy. But, man, if we're not careful, in our Christian life, we'll become comfortable. Man, just comfortable. And you notice here in this passage here, that these tribes of Israel, they're in the promised land. So guess what? They're eating of the milk and honey, right? And they're enjoying the fruits of the land. They look around them, and God's delivered them, and these different nations that they've conquered, these different kings that were listed several chapters before, and they've accomplished some things. And guess what? Now they've gotten comfortable.
So they're just sort of hanging out in the promised land. Hanging out there in the land of Canaan, enjoying all the good things that God has done. But Joshua has a question for them in verse number 3. He says, "How long are ye slack?" You know what? In our terms today, what is Joshua saying? He said, "You know what? You're lazy." Hey, be careful about becoming lazy spiritually. You know, I was thinking about that even this week. And one of the things that, you know, there's different things that people say something about you that you don't like. Or there's different, some of the things, you know, we sort of, if somebody's maybe not critical, but just trying to be a help, right? And if somebody says, you know, you're stubborn, hey, we sort of take a little pride. Yeah, we're sort of stubborn, you know, when it changed. You know, or they'll say other things about you. You know, oh, you know, that's the kind of person. They just speak their mind. And even if that's meant in the wrong way, I just say what I'm going to say. But you know, when somebody calls you lazy, man, it's hard to think of something good out of that, right? I mean, nobody wants to be called lazy. Nobody wants to be that to be said about them. And yet, Joshua says, hey, you're starting to get spiritually lazy. You know, you realize this, as we see there in verse number 2. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes. You know, that's more than half the tribes. I mean, 7 tribes, the Bible says, which had not received their inheritance. And these tribes had gotten comfortable with where they were. They had become spiritually lazy. In fact, look at verse 1. It tells us at the end of the verse, it says, the land was subdued before them. Hey, the hard work had already been done. I mean, the land is there for the taking. All they have to do is get up and go possess the land and take that land. And yet these tribes have said, you know, we're sort of comfortable where we are. They were slack to go up to possess the land. And what does verse 3 say at the end of the verse? Which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you. Read the promises in chapter 21. Hey, God had given them the land already. All they had to do was go take it. And yet they had gotten comfortable where they were in their life. And they had become spiritually lazy. You know what we'll see in our society today? It's hard to go anywhere, right? Without seeing a help wanted, now hiring. Especially, man, we've seen this in the last year or so, especially. I mean, it seems that, and I told you the story, I think, a couple weeks ago about the people I saw. They had their sign for food, and by the time they were at Walmart first, and by the time I got to another store, they already made it over there. And I mean, they're standing in front of stores that say help wanted or now hiring with a sign asking for, and then what do you want to say? Hey, just go in and get you a job, right? Hey, there's opportunities for you. And we see that, we get frustrated. We say, man, those people are just living off of society or living off of others when they have opportunities for them to go do something. But you think about us, spiritually speaking. Hey, are we spiritually lazy? Are we doing something for God with our lives? It's sad, but how about in churches? Is there help needed in churches? Hey, is there opportunities that you could do something for the Lord in the house of God, and yet you're not taking advantage of that? Is there a shortage of people willing to work for the Lord? You know what I'm afraid of, and I mentioned this in some previous messages, and I think some of this is a result of all the compromise amongst churches and bringing the entertainment of the world in, but have we become spectators? Hey, I'm going to just show up to church every service or whenever I can come, and I expect to be blessed, but I'm not putting anything into it. And the most I'll do, and I'm not against this. You keep doing this, that's fine. Hey, maybe I'll put a little money in the offering plate. And then I'm just going to sit and hang out and you entertain me. And is it any different from going to a concert or going to a ball game and just putting your money in and say, hey, I'm going to pay for a little bit of entertainment? Now, unfortunately, if you're paying for entertainment through the preaching, you didn't get your money's worth, all right? So you might want to go. But hey, are we just say, here, I'm putting my little bit in, and now sit back, I'm going to sit back, and you just take care of everything while I sit around and do nothing. Now, this morning, I'm not trying to get you to quit coming. You keep coming, that's fine.
But I do think this, we can get comfortable and we can get spiritually lazy and we can become spectators in our spiritual life. And what did Joshua had to do? Look at what it says in verse number 4. He says, give out from among you 3 men for each tribe. I will send them. They shall rise, go through the land, describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. He says, hey,
it's time to get up and do something, okay? Hey, quit sitting around waiting. You got to do something for the Lord. Give me some men and go out and spy this land and figure out what you can do. And let's take some action, spiritually speaking.
Hey, if we become comfortable in our Christian lives, notice what he says in verse number 3, how long? Man, how long? Think about this for you individually. Hey, how long is it going to take until you actually start reading your Bible on a daily basis?
You've been in church for 20 years, and yet you still don't have a personal time with God every day. How long is it going to take, right? And how long is it going to take before you begin to take and witness and tell others about Christ? And listen, those that are newly saved, and you still should be doing that. But as you're growing in the Lord, that's going to take some time, take some time, take some time to grow. But if you've been in church for a while, you've been listening to preach for a while, it's about time to get up and do something for the Lord. Man, instead of just waiting, well, hopefully when I get some time. No, how long will it be before God's work becomes a priority for you? Paul said, Philippians 4:14, what? I press toward the mark. Paul said, I'm not satisfied where I am. Hey, he said, be content with such things as you have. Hey, be content with what God has given you, but don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually. We sit around in our pew and say, man, I really wish they'd do something. Hey, how about us doing something for the Lord? What are we doing? What do we do this week? And so be careful, because that carnality, that worldliness will creep in when we get comfortable. And so the first group, Genesis chapter 18, they become spiritually lazy. They were comfortable. Then the second group, you're there in Joshua 18, just back up a little bit to the chapter before Joshua 17. Verse number 14. This is talking about the children of Joseph, the tribes of Manasseh, Ephraim. Look at verse 14. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. We have the first group, they got comfortable. There was comfort that led, that was a symptom really of their carnality. And then the second thing we see here, and by the way, these aren't, there's more to the carnal Christian life than just these. We'll talk about three this morning. The second one is this, is complaining. So here's what we have. We have a group in Joshua chapter 17 that starts complaining. This is when you can see that the worldliness and the carnality creep into a Christian's life, when we live a life where we're complaining all the time. And they're complaining here. They go to Joshua and they have a complaint. And you notice this, whenever we get to murmur and complain, and the reason is because we get focused on us. You know that? Man, our complaints come about because we begin to focus on how we're not being treated right, how this is happening to us and not to somebody else. And that's what we have here in verse
number 14. They come to him and say, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit? He said, hey, how come we didn't get more than that? Why is it you're treating us this way?
They begin to question the authority and question Joshua there.
And their question there is, they say, why is it that way? In verse number 14, it says, just one portion, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. Say, again, they're focused on themselves.
Hey, we deserve more than that. We're better than that. And I tell you, we start to focus on us, and we get away from God, and we start to complain because we're not being treated right. Hey, because somebody's not taking care of us, because somebody hasn't done this for us, and we'll focus on that. Man, you know, they did that for them and for them and for them, or they complimented them, but they didn't say anything about me. And we begin to focus on ourselves and we start to complain. And I tell you, that complaining spirit will lead to a carnal Christian life. You start to look at you and how you deserve something. And I love what Joshua's answer is here. Look at verse number 15.
And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country.
cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too near for thee. He says, let me tell you something. If you're so great, go do something about it, right? Hey, let's see what you are. Hey, think back to just a couple chapters before, and a couple weeks ago we talked about it. Hey, Caleb didn't say, I deserve that. No, Caleb said, I want that mountain. I'm going to go take it. That's what he did. You know, he lived a dedicated Christian life. He says, that's what God promised me. I'm not expecting anybody to give me any more, any less. This is God's promise. I'm going to go take it. And he did. And yet these people here, they want Joshua to give them something more. What does Joshua tell them? He says, quit complaining and go do something about it, right? Hey, quit talking about yourself and what you deserve and go do the work. Don't expect it to be given to you. Don't expect someone else to take care of it for you. Don't expect someone else to give you what you think you deserve. No, he says, if you're going to do it, go do something about it. Go do something about it. And he challenged this tribe to go take that land they said was theirs. Let me tell you, just guard against a complaining spirit. Man, again, you focus on you. I mean, listen, we all have, I don't know, you think about this week, all right? I won't get you to raise your hand, but we all have pity parties once in a while, right? We all have those, and nobody else is invited. It's just us, and we have our little party, and we're just in that sort of mood where nobody likes me, nobody, and we get in that once in a while. And listen, we're human beings. We understand that. But let me tell you, don't stay there. Man, don't stay there. Man, don't stay in that self-pity and that complaining. And man, this is a way. And we try to teach our children, you know, not to be that way. Hey, make sure we're not living a complaining life. That's going to lead us to a carnal Christian life. And you had a group that was complaining. You had those that were comfortable. You had those that were complaining. And then the last group, look at Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10. And we'll come back to Joshua 17 in just a second. Joshua chapter 16. Verse 10, it's talking about the tribes here, and it says, and they drove not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. Look at chapter 17, verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. It will lead to carnality in our Christian life. It's comfort. We get comfortable. We get lazy. Hey, we haven't made a spiritual decision in years. We still go through the same routine we always have. We show up to church at the same time, and we maybe open our Bibles at the same time. But boy, there's been no growth in our Christian life in a long time. We've gotten comfortable. And if we're not careful, that complaining will set in. And I've seen people that are on fire for God, and then all of a sudden that spirit turns, and man, they're doing something for God, and that complaining gets in. And I tell you, that complaining, it can divide. It always does. It can divide a people. It can divide a home. It can divide a church. It can divide any group. And so be careful of a complaining spirit. But then the third thing here we have that comes to the carnal Christian life is compromise. Compromise. We talked about this, and we talked about this several weeks ago as a group and as a church, but I'm talking about individually in your life. I'm talking about individually a compromise that comes about. The Bible tells us they did not utterly drive out the Canaanites. In fact, go back to Joshua chapter number 10. Joshua 10. And this is talking as a whole and what Joshua did in particular in leading the people of Israel. They did all they were supposed to do as we went through all the battles that they fought. Look at Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 40. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And so that's what happened. They had fought these battles and they had defeated all the kings that were there. And so this land now, as we get to the second part of the book of Joshua, that land that has been conquered now has to be divided. Hey, here you go. Here's your portion, your portion. And so when they took their portion, yes, the kings have been defeated. Those armies have been conquered. But there were still some of the Canaanites there in the land. Not all of them had left. Not all of them had been were gone. Some of them were still there. And so one of the things they were supposed to do, God had told them, was to utterly destroy those Canaanites. And so as they went to take care of their individual property, that land they've been given, they're supposed to drive out all the guests, a commandment from God, a commandment through Moses and through Joshua. And so when these Israelites in Joshua chapter 16 and 17, when they did not drive out the Canaanites, they were disobeying the commandment of God. God had told them, drive out those Canaanites. Yes, you've conquered, you've defeated the kings, the armies, but those that are left, you need to drive them out. And what does it tell us in Joshua chapter 16 and verse 10? We read that a second ago. Go back to the book of Joshua chapter 16, verse 10. It says in the middle of the verse there, the Canaanites dwell among them. Hey, they allow these Canaanites to dwell among them. And so did you have a majority of Israelites? Yes, you did. Did you have those in control who were Israelites? You did. But you know what you still had? You still had some Canaanites that dwelt among them. You still had those that God had said to get them out of the land, to utterly destroy them, that were still there. Let me tell you this, in your home and in your life, individually, in your family, you cannot have a victorious Christian life if you allow sin to stay around. You can't do it. You allow the Canaanites, in this case, represent the world and the philosophy of the world and the sins. You allow those things to stay around in your life. You're not going to have a victorious Christian life. It's going to lead to a carnal, a worldly Christian life. Those Canaanites dwell among them. And I tell you, here's their problem. Look at Joshua chapter 17. This is what we have to guard against. Look at verse number 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong. You know what? They thought they were strong enough to handle it. I tell you, when you're heading for a downfall spiritually, when you think you're strong enough to handle it. I'm telling you. Temptation, sin, all those things. What's the Bible say? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, you know, we're not going to be as radical as everybody else. I know they don't have this in their home, or they don't have this in their life, or they don't hang around that kind of person. But you know, listen, we're strong enough to handle it. Let me tell you something. You're headed for downfall. You're headed for a downfall. Hey, the reason I want to keep things out of my home is not because I'm weak. That's why. I don't want those temptations there. I don't want those things there. Are you strong enough? I know I'm weak. That's what I know. I know that. And so we think, boy, we'll be able to get it. Our kids will be okay even if they do. Let me tell you, let me just throw this out there. And listen, I know everybody has different. I was talking to somebody again this week. I know everybody has different things that they have to deal with. And so I understand that. But I'm telling you, man, I do not know how parents today send their kids off to public school. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. And I'm thankful we have in this room, we have those that teach in our public schools, that work in our public schools, and they do a great job, and they are a great testimony for the Lord and a great testimony for the church. And I thank God for what they do. And they tell you the same thing. Man, I don't know how they do it. Man, I can't do that and expect God his blessings on what I'm doing. When I have a choice and I have... Listen, and again, I know everybody's different situation. I'm just saying, if we're gonna make decisions for the Lord, we want to make sure we're doing those things that are right and not think we're strong. Man, I'm strong enough to have no. They didn't realize how weak they were. And of course, what happened? It tells us there they were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Hey, they didn't say, boy, they're... we would have this, of course, not as much now because of there's so many different ways to have entertainment come in your home or to listen to things. But there was a day, I remember this. I remember when I first started working with our young people here, and we go to camp, and they'd have preaching against the wrong kind of music. And by the way, that preaching still needs to take place because the music of the world has not gotten any better. It's gotten worse, and I'm telling you what, the music of the world, they talk about, I mentioned this before in church, they talk about marijuana as a gateway drug. It sort of gets you into other drugs. Let me tell you what rock music is. It's gateway sin. It's a sin in itself, but then it leads to so much other sins out there. And so, but our young people would hear the preaching against the wrong kind of music, and they come home. You know what they do? They take those those CDs or even those, do y'all remember tapes? All right. They take those tapes and they take them and they throw them away. And I remember telling these young people, I said, listen, now talk to your parents about it and make sure as you destroy those things, but you get rid of them. I said, don't just put them away in a closet somewhere. Hey, don't just tuck them in a drawer. No, you utterly destroy so you don't go back to it. And let me tell you, when we're strong in our decisions for the Lord and we have opportunity to utterly destroy, so you get rid of it. Hey, man, if you're having trouble with that television, get rid of it. Destroy it. Hey, here's the concept. You're having trouble with the internet. How about turning it off in your home? Oh, but how am I going to function? No, you know what's more important than you functioning? It's your marriage and your home and your life for the Lord, your relationship with God. All those are more important than whatever it is you say you've got to do. Hey, how about deciding I'm going to utterly destroy those things when they were strong? And notice it says what they did. Not only did not destroy, it says they put the Canaanites to tribute. You know what they did? They looked around. They said, you know what? Yeah, we could run those Canaanites out of there, but we might could get some work out of them, right? Hey, they might be useful to us. Hey, why take such a drastic step when they could? Hey, we could get something. Hey, practically speaking, I'm sure in their own minds they made excuse for themselves. Hey, you know what? Hey, but this will actually work out good for us, right? I mean, they're not going to be in charge. They're not going to make the decisions. We're going to be in control of them, but we can get something out of them. Let me tell you, it doesn't work that way when you're talking about sin. You cannot, boy, well, practically speaking, here's what you need to do. You need to utterly drive them out. That's what you need to do. Hey, not see what you can get out of them or take those these things of the world. And boy, let's see what good we can get out of them. No. If it's from the world, if it's from Satan, you get rid of it. You say, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to compromise in my Christian life. Go back where we started. Go back to Joshua chapter 21. Book of Joshua is about victorious Christian living. I want to just read this to you one more time. Verse 43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. They possessed it and dwelt there, and the Lord gave it to them. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest round about according to all he sware unto the fathers. Again, what he said, there stood not a man of all their enemies before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken in the house of Israel. All came to pass. Let me tell you this morning, if you're saved and you're not living a victorious Christian life, it's not God's fault. He took care of it. Hey, Jesus Christ not only died on the cross to save you from your sins, but also that we could live a life that would be pleasing to him. Hey, and he did all of it for them. It wasn't God's fault that they began to go into carnality. One last verse. This is such a sad verse. I'll close here. Go to 1 Samuel 15. And most of you know the story we talked about a few weeks ago. And again, a situation where God told Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. And boy, Saul had such potential for the Lord. And Saul saw some victories, by the way. In fact, if you go back to chapter 14, verses 47 and 48, it talks about, man, all the victories that Saul had. Man. And Saul accomplished some things, but chapter 15, we should look at verse number 10. Because of Saul's compromise, because he didn't do what God had said, look at verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. Look what it says, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. It's so sad, isn't it? God says, you know what? Saul has turned back from following me. He has not followed my commandments. This morning, if you say, man, I want to do something for God, let me ask you this. Have you turned back from following him? Are you following his commandments? Have you gotten comfortable spiritually? You a little lazy? I don't like to be called lazy. None of us do. You a little lazy spiritually, sort of just settled in? Hey, we started complaining. Yeah, but I don't get, nobody talks to me, or I didn't get treated this way, or they didn't. We're complaining. hey, we started to compromise. Instead of utterly destroying those things we know are wrong, we allow them to hang around in our lives. Hey, this morning, you can live a victorious Christian life. You can. God's done it for us. Hey, we have to decide, I'm going to continue to follow the Lord. I'm going to do more for Him. I'm going to serve Him greater than I ever have before. Listen, do you understand this? God
didn't want these tribes. He did everything He could for these tribes to conquer and to be in a place where they could have victorious Christian life. God wants that for us. And what is holding us back? As Joshua asked that first group,
how long? How long is it going to be until you say, I'm going to do something for God? Father, I pray that You'd help each of us this morning. Help us to look at our own hearts, or individually, Lord, not just as a group, as a church, or even as a family, although it's important.
But help us to look at us. Not the person beside us, not our husband, not our wife, not our son or daughter or parent or friend. Help us to look at our heart this morning. Lord, first of all, help us to be honest with ourselves and see if we know for sure we're on our way to heaven. Could be the reason this morning there's somebody that's not living for God is because they never trusted You, Lord, and they don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And so I pray, first of all, for those, Lord, that would be honest before You and say, I need to get saved this morning. But for those that are saved, Lord, help us to look at us and to see if we're living a carnal Christian life. Lord, can creep in so easily. We may not have compromised everything we believe, but it could be we've gotten a little comfortable. Or it could be we just sort of focused on us and gotten to where we're complaining a little more than we should. Lord, this morning, help us not to head down that road of a carnal Christian life. You have done everything You've told us You would. Lord, why wouldn't we want to live for You? Lord, help us to live a victorious Christian life in Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. And nobody looking around this morning, let me ask you this. As you're here on a Sunday morning, the last Sunday morning in April of 2022, if Jesus was going to come back today, maybe be a great thing, but if He was to come back today, would He take you to heaven with Him? Hey, do you know for sure, without beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you died today, if Jesus came back today, that you'd be in heaven? If you can say that this morning, say, I know I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning? Put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know. Man, I want to live a victorious Christian life. To be honest with you, I'm not sure that I'm even saved. You say, I don't even understand what you're talking about. But boy, I want a relationship with God. If you're like that this morning, you say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about where I'm going to spend eternity. Boy, I hope you get that taken care of. If you're like that this morning, you say, pray for me. I won't call on you. I promise you that, all right? I won't embarrass you at all. But you say, I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you're like this morning, just slip your hand up and say, pray for me this morning. I'm just not sure where I'm going to go when I die. Let me ask you this morning, are you living a victorious Christian life? And if not, why not? Hey, God's done it. You got a little comfortable. Started complaining a little bit, compromised, or maybe something not even what we talked about this morning. But I hope you allow God to deal with your heart this morning and help you to do more for Him. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. Good. So glad you're here this morning. Be back tonight. We'll have our choir practice back in place. And then our sign language class also after church tonight. 6 o'clock service, so be in here for that. 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And man, enjoy the week this week. Enjoy the weather today. Wonderful weather today. Enjoy that. And hopefully be back tonight. And tell you what, always good, Brother White, to have you and your wife in here with us. Won't you close with prayer if you would? Amen.
Either half the sun, half the life. But God, either half not sun, half not life.
Yes.
You have God abide from him. Or there's a work to do.
Amen.
And it takes servants, it takes committed Christians, spiritual people, to be burdened and yield themselves, surrender to God, we might be solved, be alive, and
yes.
People know we're half a soul of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.